Congressman Mike Boss. Mike, how are you this morning?
Perfect.
Well, I think I'm accurate. The only thing we've got to look forward to is the weather at this point, unless you're, of course, Florida. So, hey, I tell you what, I got a ton of stuff, Mike. I literally have a ton of stuff. I'm worried about getting it all in. First, I've got to start with my own curiosity. Commitment to America. I saw this on your Twitter feed, I believe it was yesterday. What is the commitment to America?
The commitment to America is what the plan that we've been working on as the House Republicans to what we will commit to as far as if they will give us the House back, and we're going to work on these things. And it's three sections of restore, rebuild, and renew. And basically restore, we're going to defeat COVID. We're going to move forward to make sure the virus the people are kept healthy, and that we're going to ensure safety and security for all communities. We're going to invest $1.75 billion better in police training. Obviously, not defunding police. We're also including 500,000 more body cameras that will be distributed. We'll continue to rebuild our troops and military. We'll preserve our freedoms under the Constitution, because we got to uphold the freedom of speech, protect religious liberties, defend the unborn. Then, as far as the rebuild, we're encouraging to go after 10 million new good-paying jobs and continue to create the work zones that we have. End our dependency on China. We've learned that we've had to straighten that up. Upgrade and modernize American infrastructure. And then the renew part is making sure that everyone has the opportunity to pursue the American dream and reinstill what that American dream is and remind our children what that is. You know, make sure that every child in every neighborhood can attend school and attend quality school. You know, honor our veterans who served as our American heroes. Make sure that they have the opportunity to come back to jobs and are employed. And then support our citizens and make sure we're moving forward to promote opportunities for careers and technical jobs and building America back to the point that we need. This is a commitment similar to what Newt Gingrich did years ago with the contract with America. It's a pledge by those of us who are either elected and or those that are running on the Republican ticket if we can get back in the majority and what our plans are. It's not enough to say what they're doing wrong. We've got to show a plan, and that's basically what it is.
Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, says the House is going to stay in session until COVID-19 relief is delivered. Last week, I spoke with Senator Dick Durbin on the Senate legislation. I believe it's $1.6 trillion. He defined that as emaciated. Is there any because there's a big difference here, $3 trillion, $1.6 trillion. Any chance of a compromise? Well, Nancy Pelosi says we're staying until this is done.
Let me tell you why I think there is, as of the news that we heard last night. Nancy and Schumer believed that this was hurting the Republicans in the election, and all of a sudden the polls started showing that them not coming to the table for the fourth bill for COVID to really deal with the issues is showing that it's hurting them. So yes, there is a possibility that we're going to find that. Couple things in there, Tom, that we've got to have. We've got to make sure that not only do we provide for our municipalities what they're suffering through, certain key targeted helps that are out there for those that have been most affected by the COVID virus. And then the other thing we have to make sure of is as our schools go back, as businesses go back, and all of that, that the tort liability is removed so that all of a sudden you bring your employees back to work and you do it in a safe manner and a COVID outbreak breaks out, you are not then hit with a class action lawsuit just for going back to work, because COVID is a disease that is not something that we can readily control.
I believe in Illinois, Mike, that there was a ruling that if you get sick, it didn't matter whether you got sick at work or not, workers' comp allowed you to go to your employer for compensation. I believe there was a ruling on that.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, all I can say is that if you get sick, the workers' comp is one thing. I don't know how the workers' comp lawyers are going to be able to argue that out one way or the other, but there was relief in the third COVID package for people, you know, that are in that situation. Okay. And so But to actually hold the liability to a level to where lawsuits can pile up in our courts, that's what we've got to stop.
The governor of Illinois says Washington needs to send help. There'll be state and county jobs lost if they haven't helped. They're going to have to supply financial help, or there's going to be dramatic cuts. In the background, of course, there's also the progressive tax, which is also a subset of that issue. But the governor in particular saying yesterday, got to have help. Here's the thing. Our listeners have heard me harp on this, and I hope they don't consider it harping. I worry that they do, about this money from the CARES Act, the cure money that was to be distributed outside of Chicago and the collar counties, Kane. Not $1 has been distributed. I was able to receive a document from one of our elected officials who told me they had received a document from the DCEO and had got this document. They let me know on Monday. And they had said, as of today, Monday, 329 of the 1,310 certificates, this is the appeal given that asking for the money, have been received. 329 out of 1,310. The condition in which you and the Senate, the House and Senate, approved this money for was changed in the state of Illinois, limited on when it can be spent and what it could be spent on. At the same time, you've got people in Washington saying, we have to do it right now. Well, the stuff done March 27th still has not been done in one community outside Chicago or the collar counties.
Right. We delivered a message as the Republican delegation early on when we discovered that it was not being spent and distributed. Here you are asking for more money. And you know what? I want my municipalities to receive what they need to do to make sure they can continue to operate and be made whole. But how in the world can the governor be asking for more money when he hasn't sent out the money that we sent him in the third COVID bill? That's a problem. Once again, it's a mishandling by the state of Illinois on their operation. Now, the administration has the power under the 10th Amendment to distribute it the way that they want and the way that they need to. But then get it done before you come back and start screaming at us that they've got to have more money. And the sad reality is that because of the 10th Amendment, our ability for oversight is limited, to say the least. We've got other states that are doing fine with what we sent them, and then they truly do need certain money directed, and then we can focus and make sure the money is going where it needs. What in the world is the state of Illinois doing holding it? Are they drawing interest on it? Do they feel like that's a way to generate revenue? I don't know.
All right, but Mike, I don't normally do this, but me and you've known each other, so I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Critical. I just kind of went on a little rant because this bothers me no end. Well, let me give you an idea what the bother is to the tune of. I'm looking at the official documents here from the DCEOE. For the counties, $51,621,725 federal funds. Mm-hmm. For the municipalities, $148,378,275. None of it has been distributed. There have been, 310 Correct. Certificates. Would you do me a favor? Mm-hmm. Am I missing something? Is there some disconnect that I'm missing on the stipulations? I mean, you've been in government, state and federal government. What am I missing about this story? Because the people
are missing anything. All you're missing is the fact that you've got a governor that keeps saying he wants more money, but he can't distribute to the municipalities, which he has a power over, counties and municipalities, to get that money to them. They have the resources now. They just have to distribute it. Now, is it because he shut down state agencies and can't distribute? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Here's a question.
But the frustration for us is, here he is screaming and telling people we need more, but yet, right there, you've got documentation that he can't get out what he's got right now, or hasn't got out what he's got right now, but yet other states do.
All right, here's a question. Just came in by text. Good morning, Tom. Question for Mike. Could JB, the governor, put the undistributed money into the general fund for safekeeping, and then it'll slowly evaporate? From Dennis this morning.
I don't know that. I it won't evaporate, obviously, except for the other bills that the state has and through the process. Now, the question is, has he got it in a, or do they have it in an interest drawing account? So I don't know if he's trying to make money off of it by holding on to it. I don't have that answer because I'm not the state legislator, and Though we have asked for guidelines of how he's going to get it distributed out. He's never responded back to our letter, and that letter was months ago.
Mike, there's a number of other items that I want to discuss with you this morning, one of which is that COVID has sucked a lot of oxygen out of the room when it comes to topicality. And if we had taken COVID-19 filters off our eyes and look at the pre-existing problems, one of those was veteran suicides.
Oh, yeah.
You've been working on this.
Well, let me tell you, we're working on that this week. Right now, as a matter of fact, we've got hearings on it this week, and actually marking up a bill. I wish it was a more entailed bill. There's a few other things I think we should do. Remember, we lose 20 service members to suicide per day, and that's 20 too many. You know, I introduced the VA Precision Medicine Act, and it's going to help VA better identify veterans facing higher mental health risk. It also requires, these bills that we're pushing forward also require implementation of a program to determine veterans that are higher risk than any others for depression and post-traumatic stress syndrome. The goal is to get the veterans the care they need sooner so that they don't become one of those 20. I don't know if you know this or not. I think you do. It's also Suicide Prevention Month. We've got, make sure that your listeners know for the Veterans Hotline and the Non-Veterans Hotline for suicide if they're suffering with those problems right now. The Veterans Crisis Line is 1-800-273-8255, and then you press 1, or you can text 838255, and that will put you in touch with a person to talk to you and talk you away from that suicide. If you're a non-veteran, the number is 1-800-273-8255. Tom, another big problem that we're trying to deal with in this bill is, unfortunately, of the 20 that commit suicide every day, only six of them, have ever been in a VA facility. So we have to make sure that we're getting to them, that we're reaching out, and we're trying to do that as much as possible.
You know, it's interesting, Mike. I literally have some of my best friends, Vietnam War era, yeah, who are still going to group once or twice a week at the VA.
Yeah.
Still to this day. And, you know, I got one of my best, you know, and when I see him out in public, there's number one rule. You do not walk up behind this guy and slap him on the back.
Right.
He's one of my best friends, and I had to come through that funnel and awareness on that. There are some things that he can't do, realize that the long-term effects that we have in some cases. All right, now here's another issue. Wouldn't have as many veterans if we had more peace. A peace agreement, although some people are taking exception to the term peace agreement, saying it can't be a peace agreement if there was no war. Well, there's been a war since about 622.
Yeah.
And I saw that yesterday. Well, there's no war between Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates and Israel.
Oh, man.
No phone calls, no planes going between, right? And they're popping a missile into Israel last night. So that agreement yesterday, Bahrain, how significant is this? Is it worthy of a Nobel Peace Prize?
Let me tell you that both of those agreements with Bahrain and also with the I'll get the initials right. At any rate, here's what's that. I actually gave a speech on the floor about this yesterday, that this is so unbelievably big that we're so busy bad-mouthing the president, but he moved forward with this. You've got to remember that in our lifetime, Tom, and that we saw how a president, when Egypt and Israel, when Egypt came to the agreement at the Camp David summit during Jimmy Carter, that was just one country. Now we've had two in a month that they wouldn't even recognize Israel. Now they're trading with them, they're traveling with them. It is truly, for our entire life, people have joked about politicians that make promises they can't keep, which is peace in the Middle East. Look, this is a time that you've seen somebody, but the only reason this president hasn't even been recognized for this is because his name is Donald Trump. And that's it. The amount that Mike Pompeo has worked on this, and then here's what you're going to see besides that, and this is how big it is. You're going to see other nations falling in with these nations to come to that peace with Israel that we haven't seen in a long time. There's two reasons for that. One, I think, And my wife brought up the second reason, but one is because Iran has become such terrorist in the neighborhood that they're realizing that no, it's not Israel, it's Iran that's doing this, that's got the problem here. Of course, my wife brought this up. Finally, a younger generation, I believe, has come into power in the countries, and once they start looking around and going, why is it we're fighting with these people?
Right.
And can't we just work together? And I mean, we're kind of, you know, it's the world is opening up to them, and they're coming to the realization that being part of the world and being able to trade and have a friendship down the street with their neighbors, in this case, neighboring countries, is a good and golden opportunity. And I think Mike Pompeo and the president and their staff are delivering on that.
You know, it's interesting. In A Brief History of the 21st Century, written by Thomas Friedman, the darling of the left, he declared that this was going to happen in this century, that business, commerce would bring people to a peaceful resolution. I don't know that he'll come out now admit that it happened via the Trump administration, which should be interesting. Okay, right. Here's another. You know, this is interesting because I watched this on social media occurring last night. That last night on Carson Tucker on Fox, that the COVID-19 virus is a man-made virus and was released on purpose. A woman who worked in the lab talked on Tucker's show last night. Would you please ask Mike if he knows anything about that? That was on last night. The only reason I went up finding it was because I was watching my social media feed saying this woman needs protection after saying this. So your thoughts on that broadcast? Do you anything about it?
We have suspected it. For a long time, but for keeping peace with China, okay, is there a lab that works on this type of thing there? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And however, all the details and everything like that, that's not my committee of jurisdiction. Therefore, those things that might be classified, I would not have information to. Is it the suspect to many members of Congress that's a possibility? Sure, it's always a possibility that's what happened.
Okay.
It doesn't change the fact that the virus was released from that area to us, and we've got to deal with it.
All right. Now, I've been reading more about this tax deferment that was signed in by the president, and we're talking about items of that in that ilk.
Right.
And I noticed there's been several notes come out of John Shimkus's office saying, look, it's a deferment. You need to keep this in mind, that in the first 4 years of 2021, you'd have to repay for any deferred payments.
Right. And now the question is, will the fourth, if we come up with the fourth COVID bill, will that deferment be made to where it doesn't have to be paid back? Don't make any decision until you see it in writing. Okay, what John's putting out and what we're putting out is the same thing. Is that you got to understand that it is, you don't have to pay it right now, but you will have to pay it.
Right. And finally, your opponent talked to him last week, I believe it was. And now I'm so sorry. I got a press release this morning. Mike Bost is a chicken. I thought we were kind of above that kind of thing, but apparently talking about you being unwilling to debate him, Mike.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. There is, one, I'm dealing right now with the things that we're talking about. We are busy working here in D.C. The media, we will do editorial boards. We will do all of that. So far, what he's said in the time frame, and I don't wear my feelings on my sleeve, but one thing he accused me of early on, which made me so angry, because if he can't get his information right better than that, I have a stellar record of my votes, not only in D.C., but in Springfield. Matter of fact, I found out after the fact that I didn't miss a vote in Springfield ever. And so whenever he put out that in 2019 I was down in the lower 45 of the amount of votes that I missed, I got to looking at it. And the only votes I missed was for my mother's funeral. You know what? If I have an opponent that can't do any more research than that, and all he does is get on social media and hem-haw with people that don't have answers, he's not worth the debate. So I will go to my constituents and I will talk to them and I will talk to you and I'll talk. We'll meet with the groups that we can through electronic means and smaller groups. We can do that. But yes, I was asked for one debate through WSIU, and I explained to them why we spent through our staff, why we were not going to offer him the debate. And if he wants to get his message out there, he can figure out how to do that.